Blog Talk Radio.
Glory to God. I am the church. You are the church, and we are the church together. Thank you, Lord, that we're together today. No matter what location we're in, we're together today because we are the church. Amen. Welcome. Welcome, everyone. Hallelujah. On this last day of July in 2022, we thank God for this fifth Sunday to be here today, hallelujah, in the land of the living. So much is going on, but God has seen fit to, for us to still be here. Right, Pastor Mom?
Right.
Amen. Pastor Mom's going to open us up with greeting everybody, saying hi, and then she's going to open up in prayer.
Good morning, everybody.
Amen. Amen. Good morning, Pastor Mom.
Mm-hmm.
Our Father.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Today, our daily bread.
And forgive us.
Our trespasses.
As we forgive
those who trespass against us.
And lead us not
into temptation.
But deliver us from evil. For thine
is the kingdom,
yes,
and power and glory forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's say our prayer together, Pastor Mom.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, thank you for being with us and standing by us and holding us in the hollow of thine own hand. Bless our president and give him wisdom, knowledge, and a good understanding. Bless all the people of the United States. Lead us and guide us. Bless this service in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we just thank God for Pastor Mom. She got a big birthday coming up in 4 days. Amen. We're going to sing to her later on in just a little while. But she has the big 9-0 coming up. Hallelujah. We praise the Lord. We praise the Lord. let's go to Psalm 100. Amen. Psalm 100 again. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we're going to say Psalm 100 together. Let's say it. Oh, and then, you know, after that, we're going to go to, we're going to go to Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3. But we're going to start at Psalm 100. Okay. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, and it's he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Let's sing our Psalm 100 verse 5 song. For the Lord is good, his mercy everlasting, his truth endures to all generations. For the Lord is good, his mercy everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Hallelujah. I think you got it now. Praise God. Hallelujah. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. I hear somebody say, sing it one more time. I almost got it. All right. For the Lord is good, his mercy everlasting, his truth endures to all generations. For the Lord is good, his mercy everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Amen, amen, amen. Let's go on to Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Amen, amen. So those of you who have been with us, you know that the Lord has given us a charge and a challenge to know more about his name, his character, and his nature. Hallelujah. And this month we've been talking about righteousness. Hallelujah. That he is our righteousness. Glory to God. So John chapter 14 and verse 2 through 6 says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said this in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. So the word righteousness is not in here. But the whole thought and intent and what righteousness is all about, our righteousness, is all about his righteousness. Hallelujah. That no man comes to the Father but by him. Amen. He is righteous. Glory to God. He is our righteousness. And 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30 says, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. This is 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So he is our righteousness. And we want to hear a little song here that speaks about Jesus, God's righteousness revealed. Jesus is God's righteousness revealed. Amen.
Hallelujah. God's righteousness revealed. The Son of God, the Son of Man, His kingdom come. Jesus, redemption sacrifice. Glorified, now justified, His kingdom come, and His kingdom will know no end, and its glory shall know no bounds, for the majesty and power of His kingdom.
Hallelujah. Jesus, God's righteousness revealed. Apart from Jesus, hallelujah, we have no righteousness. No one can go to the Father but by him. Hallelujah. When we receive him, we receive righteousness, right standing with God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And that's our pearl to ponder for today. Ponder on that pearl. He is our righteousness, and Jesus is God's righteousness revealed. Glory to God. It was hidden for a long time, and then he revealed Jesus, his righteousness. Amen. Amen. Just make you want to just think about it. Mull it over. Let it roll around in your head. Ponder it for a while. It's good. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Let's go on to our declarations. Thinking about these declarations, the more I think about them, the more blessed I get. And knowing how powerful declarations are. Amen. Hallelujah. Job 22 and 28. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy way. Amen. When we make these declarations and we decree a thing, things are established, and light is shining upon our way. Isaiah 40 and verse 8 says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Amen. And, you know, I wondered why the Lord has had us on these declarations for so long. And, you know, what I'm finding out is that in the things of God, we just can't do it once and say, okay, done, been there, done that, let's go. You know, sometimes you have to linger in the word and let it, we, not you, we have to linger in the word and let it go down in us. And I'll give you like a little testimony. If you've been listening to the news and so forth, you know that there's been a lot of flooding around in this area, and we're in the St. Louis area. There's been floods here and in Kentucky and other places. And, you know, so we have seen some things on TV, and, you know, we've been praying about people who were out in water. I mean, with suddenly the water just consumed them, just had their car floating. And it just came so suddenly, floating and just going down the street. And so, you know, I had not been out during that time. And people calling us, they were, praise God, we're doing good. And I, you know, I praise God. I believe that was part of our declaration as well. Well, on what day was that? Thursday, I think it was. I was out. It was a beautiful day. It was a gorgeous day, and suddenly the rains came again, and this was, you know, right after it had been the flood, so that flood came back again because the ground was still wet, and, you know, things had not dried up yet, so I'm out there in that rain, and I have to say, earlier that morning, I had gone to do the absentee voting, and I was really kind of impatient. And the Lord, you know, talked to me about it, and, you know, I repented and said, okay, Lord, I'm going to be patient. I'm not really in a hurry or anything. I'm gonna be patient. And so he had put that in my heart earlier that morning. And so anyway, when I went out and I took care of the business I needed to take care of, on my way home, it was torrential rains. Rain so hard you couldn't even see, you know, through the windshield and everything. And so I waited for a while, and I listened to him. I realized that, you know, listening to the Lord along the way was very important, extremely important. Because it caused me to be at the right place at the right time and then to be patient. And so he gave me some instructions on how to get home. Now, the trip from where I was to home is usually 20 minutes. It took me 2 hours to get home. However, it was a blessing for that the Lord gave me that patience and to go the way that he directed me to go in. And so what I did was the first thing he led me to do was to go down the highway, use the GPS, and go down the highway that I don't usually do that. Anyway, I ended up on the highway and stuck in traffic for about 45 minutes. I had to be patient. I had to be at peace. So I'm sitting there. While I'm sitting there, I'm looking at people entering into the highway, and they were parallel to where I was sitting, so I could see what was going on. First, I noticed the cars were coming onto the highway. Then I noticed that cars that were on the highway turning around, going up the entrance ramp in the wrong direction, and going up. And I realized that there must be water later on down the highway, and you couldn't get any further. And so I sat there for at least, like I said, 45 minutes or so, and I watched that lane of people coming onto the highway. It became a two-way street, and then it became a one-way going in the opposite direction. Because all those who were headed for the highway turned around and went back off. And so the Lord told me, go ahead and get off the highway like that. So I ended up doing that, and just step by step, just listening to God and, you know, knowing that these declarations were in full effect, hallelujah, And so, you know, went down the street, had to turn around several times because there was puddles of water, and I wasn't going through the water like that. And many people were not. Make a beautiful story short, you know, I had to do some waiting and sitting some more. And then I went down, he told me to go down this street. It's called Del Mar. And I went down Del Mar. Everything was clear. Only at one point was there a lot of water, but it was on the right side of the road, but you could get in the left lane, and there was no water at all. So I ended up getting home. Praise God. My family was praying for me. They were sending texts all over and praying that I, you know, that I would get home. I did not know. You know, I think about what the elders would say, God keeps you from danger seen and unseen. There were so many unseen dangers that were around me that I did not see. And I thank God for that. I know that, you know, the scripture says, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. Light was shining upon my ways. I was getting, you know, the favor of God as I was going down the street. Now, I was praying for people, you know, as I was going. I saw some people who were stuck. Some people went across mud, got stuck in the mud. I was praying, and I was wondering, Lord, am I out here to pray for people today? Because I believe I was supposed to be out for some reason at that time, Thursday, I believe. And so when I got home and I saw the news, I said, oh, my God, the street that I was going to go down, he told me to turn and not go down that street. And on that street, there was a priest who was in his car. Suddenly, the car was inundated with water. He had to open the windows and swim out of the car. And he swam, got on dry land, and there was a McDonald's, and he went over. I know that McDonald's. It's right down the street from my house. It's within a mile of my house. And so the Lord said, no, don't go that way. And then when I went down Del Mar, I was like, wow, this is like so cool. It's so nice down Del Mar. And I looked at a car that was over to the side, and it was hanging off part from the street, and part of it was on the sidewalk. And I'm wondering, how did that car get right there like that? Well, that car was floating about an hour before I got there. By the time I got there, the water had receded. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. And so I know that I know that I know that light was shining upon my ways as I was going, because we have declared and decreed some things. Amen. So let's continue to declare and decree and look at God, because, you know, just looking at him through this whole thing was such a blessing to me. I had no fear that I was going to end up in some water somewhere. There was absolutely no fear in me because I was looking at God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's my testimony this morning. I always encourage you all, if you have a testimony, you can share it as well. Amen. Let's go on to our declaration. So repeat after me. No weapon
formed against me
shall prosper. This is the heritage.
This is the heritage
of the Lord.
Whatever I do
shall prosper.
And I am like a tree
that's planted
by the stream of water.
Amen. That's Isaiah 54, verse 17, and Psalm 1 and verse 3. Praise God. Praise God. And also, I'm just talking a lot this morning. We do have preachers this morning. Amen. But and we will get to them. Hallelujah. Memphis Covenant Faith Church. Glory to God. I want to say that you know, this next prayer that we pray about, no disease or germ or anything coming up on us, we've been praying for our president as well. In case you haven't heard, he was diagnosed with COVID. Then he was diagnosed negative with COVID. In the next few days, he was diagnosed with COVID again. So as we declare and decree this, we declare and decree it over him as well. Repeat after me.
Christ
has redeemed me,
from the
curse
of the law.
Therefore,
I forbid
any sickness
or
disease
to come
upon my body. Every disease,
germ,
allergy,
allergic reaction,
and every virus
that
touches my body,
dies
instantly
in
the name of Jesus.
Every
organ
and
every tissue
of my body
function
in
the perfection
that
God created
it
to function.
And
I forbid
any
malfunction
in
my body
in
the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That's Galatians 3:13, Romans 8:11. Genesis 1:31 and Matthew 16:19. And so we thank God. We're going to do one more. Hallelujah. We could do more, but we're going to do one more. Repeat after me. I have no lack.
I have no lack.
For my God.
For my God.
Meets all my needs.
Meets all my needs.
According to his glorious riches.
In Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
That's Philippians 4 and verse 19. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So we thank God for all of these declarations. We thank God for the testimony for getting me through the flood, you know. Hallelujah. It says he got me through the fire and through the flood. And so we thank the Lord for that. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I see Minister Amber with her number one key press. I think it's maybe because she's going to be. No, that's Minister Joy. Okay. That means you're ready to preach. I understand. Amen. If it's anything different than that, send me a quick text on it. Okay. Amen. So we just thank the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to have a time of praise and worship. We'll do our giving. And then we're going to have the Memphis Covenant Faith Church, who is here today. It's the fifth Sunday, and they will be speaking today. So we're excited to hear from them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Minister Joy. I see you. So, glory, hallelujah. Let's hear a word. I just been here in joy, being joyful in the Lord and thanking the Lord. Hallelujah. And so I wanted to hear this song this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, I don't see the exact one that I wanted, but I like this one anyway. Oh, here it is. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Joy in my soul. Hallelujah. God's great joy.
listen. No food on the table.
No food on the table.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank
I know
you,
that
Jesus.
He is able.
I know that He is able. Lord.
And you know what I can't find any words to say? You know what I'll say? Hey, hey, hey.
No matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation, we thank God for the joy in our soul. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Let's go on to our prayer over our finances. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God is taking care of our finances in the midst of everything that's going on. And I just see more and more the power of praying these prayers together, making these declarations together. Amen. It quote-unquote works when you do it by yourself, but it's something that happens when we do it together. One will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000 to flight, three will put 100,000 to flight. Four will put 1,000,000 to flight. Hallelujah. So we need to be able to do this together in the Word of God, and it causes so much to happen. Amen. 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 Now, you know, we've been talking about the wealth transfer. Now, listen to me very carefully. I'm not saying go out and buy a lottery ticket. You understand I'm not saying that. But you know the latest lottery was the biggest it's ever been, $1 billion. I've never heard of that before. And so it was somebody had a $1 billion ticket. Amen. With us in the Lord, $1 billion is not enough. Come on, somebody. We need to have His unlimited resources. And when we are positioned in the place where He wants us to be, amen, and what He wants us to do in terms of tithes and offerings, amen, we will have unlimited resources. Glory to God. And we have it already by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Can somebody say amen real good? Yeah. Go on, Pastor Moms. You said amen. I'm saying amen myself. But what I'm saying with that $1 billion lottery, there is a wealth transfer that's going on. And if it's going on in the things that are not really of God in the world, if it's going on in the world, hallelujah, we know that it's going on for the people of God, for the children of God, for the sons and daughters of God. Amen. So let's pray over our finances. Repeat after me. Lord,
I commit
my finances to you. Be in charge of them.
And use them
for your purpose.
May I be
a good steward
of all that you give me.
And walk
in total agreement
as to how it's to be. Amen. Show me how I can help increase my finances
and not decrease
them
unwisely.
Help me to remember
that all I have
belongs to you,
and
to be grateful for it. May I always
be paid well
for the work I do,
and
may my money not be stolen,
lost,
devoured,
destroyed,
or wasted.
Multiply it.
So what I have
and
what I make
will go a long way.
I pray
that
I will not
be
anxious about finances, but will seek
your
kingdom first,
knowing
that as
I do,
I will have all
I need.
In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen, amen, amen. And most of you know that we are planning Mom's 90th birthday party. If you're in town, you should have an invitation. If you don't have an invitation, text me. We make sure you get all of the information. But it's going to be, well, her birthday is going to be actually on Thursday. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And we're having a celebration on this Saturday, August the 6th at 2 p.m. And so we've started, you know, buying some things, and I'm talking about our finances now, how God can even stretch it. It looks like everything that we wanted to get for her has gone on sale. It's been some kind of discount or something. We wanted to get a large picture of her, and Pastor Price did the graphic on it, and it's 20 by 30. That's a pretty large size picture, and we had it done, and just at the time when we were having it done, the cost of it went down 50%. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And not only the cost, but the time to have it done. We could have that done in one day. Amen. Less than 24 hours had it done. So we praise God. Even, you know, some of the other things, mostly everything, that we were planning on getting for her, suddenly, come on, somebody, suddenly went on sale. Amen. So we thank God that he's causing things to go on sale for his people, for his glory. Amen. Now, you can give to the East St. Louis Christian Center Church via Cash App. Our Cash App is $ESLCCC. Amen. If you wanted to bless Pastor Mom for her birthday, you can still send it to $ESLCCC, and when it says for, say for Pastor Mom's birthday. Amen. And we'll make sure that she does get that. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're giving your tithes and offerings, you know, giving to Pastor Mom is different and over and above your tithes and offerings. So, amen. So continue to tithe and give offerings. If you're in the Heritage House, you can give at the door at 2E. If you'd like to mail it in, you can make your check payable to the East St. Louis Christian Center Church. You can make your check payable actually to ESLCCC. Amen. 2800 Olive Street, number 2E, St. Louis, Missouri, 63103. If you want to give to Pastor Mom for her birthday, you can make your check payable to Willie, W-I-L-L-I-E, McCoy, M-C-C-O-Y, is still the same address, 2800 Olive Street, number 2E, St. Louis, Missouri, 63103. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray over our finances. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you right now, Lord God. We recognize and realize that you're doing something in the earth. Hallelujah. You're doing a great wealth transfer. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we know what your word says, that the blessings of the Lord make it rich and adds no sorrow to it, neither does toiling increase. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And so you're blessing us right now by our giving. You're blessing us with money and things that money cannot begin to touch. And we give you praise and glory for it, Lord God. We thank you for the tithers. Your word says that that if we try you and test you on it, that you would open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings that would be too much for us to receive. Hallelujah. Make me think about the flood. The waters that came down were so much, it just overflowed and just flooded areas. We thank you for that kind of return on our tithing. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, for it. And then your word also says that you will rebuke the devourer for our sakes. And so we thank you, Lord God, that you're protecting what you've given to us, that there's no holes in our pockets and no one can come and steal. Hallelujah, steal or take it away in any way. The money, what we have will not be stolen, lost, devoured, destroyed, or wasted in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we thank you for those who are giving. You said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosoms. So we give you praise and glory for it, Lord God. And we just thank you, Lord God, that we all live in overflow by your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So let's take a moment out and sing happy birthday to Pastor Mom, 90. 90 years young. That's big. Hallelujah. Many have not seen that. But Pastor Mom, we thank God. In 4 days, Lord willing, she's going to see that 90. Amen. And so we want to just sing happy birthday to Pastor Mom. Right now. Amen. We're going to do my version of happy birthday. Hallelujah. The one that Lord gave me. Psalm 118 version.
Today is your birthday, the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice today and be glad in it. Today is your birthday, the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice today and be glad in it.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Pastor Mom. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank God for Pastor Mom. Amen. And what God is doing. Well, we're going to be celebrating, and more celebrations for Pastor Mom. Hallelujah. Amen. So without further ado, we're going to go on to our guest church. the Memphis Covenant Faith Church, where Pastor Helen Price is the senior pastor. And then we have Minister Amber and Minister Joy Price as well. So Pastor Price, we are going to turn the service over to you to just move by the Spirit of God however he leads. Amen. Welcome.
Glory to God. God bless you, Apostle and Pastor Mom, and all of the precious saints in their respective places this morning. This now it's still morning. Glory to God. We thank God.
Yes,
Apostle, I truly thank God for the every part of the service. Mom, I thank God for your voice being very strong today, Mom, and thank God for your prayer this morning. I give glory to God. And, Apostle, I thank God, as always, for all of the many things that God has you to do during the service. I appreciate the pearls to ponder. And you really gave a couple of my favorite scriptures today in the pearls to ponder. And I worship God for that, because every day when I pray, I always pray 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30. I always pray that. When I was younger, when I was a younger girl, in my younger days, I used to read a lot, and they had tested me in about the fifth grade that they said that I was a genius, and I'm not kidding, they said that one of the things that I was past genius, whatever that means, and so, but it came out of a mom and dad who kept us with books and kept us reading, and then also God's anointing that was one of his endowments upon my life, but then, as I began to come up, I would hear said, "Oh yeah, she got book learning, but she sure don't have no common sense, no wisdom." And so, I when I came in, I would always try to align myself with people who had much wisdom, people that I would look at that I considered. In fact, even when I married my husband, one of the things that I admired about him was the wisdom that was upon his life. And I watch with my daughters now that they move and operate in the wisdom of God. But as I came into the Lord, one of the things the Lord said to me, he said, "Helen, don't you embrace that lie." He said, "You are in me." He said in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30 says that I, Jesus Christ, and those of you who may be desiring for the wisdom, and we need his wisdom. We need his wisdom on a daily basis, on a daily, daily basis. Hallelujah. And in that is the righteousness that Apostle talked about today, about the righteousness, because 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30 says that Jesus Christ has been made wisdom for us, righteousness, redemption, and sanctification. So every day I said, "Lord, I thank you." When I go to pray, I thank Jesus for his precious, mighty blood that was shed for me, for his body that was broken for me. And then I thank him for righteousness, for redemption, for sanctification, for reconciliation. And then I thank him for 1 Corinthians 1:30. "Lord, you're my wisdom. And God will give you, I'm telling you, he is marvelous about downloading us his wisdom. In fact, I also say that we have the mind of Christ. And we decree and declare we have the very mind. God will give you his mind. So I want to thank God for that particular word, because that is such a, that 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30 that Apostle talked about this morning, it is such a great blessing. And then we can also lay hold to that. And we can say, and I, because this is a decreeing and declaring day, I want you to say with me, those who are listening, and say, "Lord," that's right, say, "Lord, I thank you today that 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30 belongs to me too. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being made wisdom for me, righteousness for me, redemption for me, and sanctification in Jesus' name." I have to go back again, because I know sometimes I see some of the people, ministers, that tell, like Bill Winston, they'll tell the same story over and over again. And a lot of times I go back and tell that the story of talking about genius. But let me tell you something. one of the things I realize is that whatever giftings we have on our life, oh, saints of God, it is, we have, the Word of God talks about grace. Grace is every earthly blessing. It's favor. And then it's the special ability that God calls us to do. If there's anything that we seem like we got a special talent, whether it be in it, wherever it is, I look at some of my children, they have administrative abilities. Wherever it is, we must know. We can't take any, we can't boast in anything but Jesus Christ. For he is the one that gives us that special ability, the endowment to do what God has called us to do. I had to learn that in my life. And I had to learn and understand it wasn't something that I could preen around or think I had pride in. I can't do that. Because any good and perfect gift comes from God above. So that little, but that little part at the beginning so ministered to my heart because it might be someone. And then I'm going to say this, and I guess the preacher must be honest for a few seconds. He said that, and then God is so good because he said, if any of you lack wisdom, he said, let him ask of God, and he will give it unto you liberally and will not upbraid you. What do you need wisdom? What do we need wisdom for? What direction do we need to go in? How can we be able to go forward in what God has called us to do? And that's where a relationship comes with God. It's not about religion. This is why it's not about religion, even though religion is not a bad thing in James 1:27, where it says that pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is this. Pure religion is to visit widows and orphans in their afflictions and to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. So religion has a place, but the things that people are talking about, again, is that the traditions and the things that people do, that they do by rote are over and over again, and they're saying they're so played out with religion, but our walk in the Lord is a relationship, and that's why when we talk about the wisdom of God, it's taking that time to talk to him, to spend quality time with him. That's why when they were on the road to Emmaus and the disciples' eyes had not been opened that it was Jesus after he had been crucified and rose from the dead, they didn't know it was him. And when they were on that road, they said, oh my, did our hearts not burn? Because they were walking with the truth. They were communicating with the truth. And this is, I don't know who this was for, as God, in fact, is for me and everyone, that we continue to see God's face. We continue to spend time with him so he can impart to us his wisdom. And then there are people that say, no way, you shouldn't ask God why. But that's not true. That's not true. We can ask God, Lord, what is this about? Give me wisdom. Show me what to do. And he said, except we come before him like a little child, just like a little child. And I'm one of those ones that said, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord God. Show me what to do. And he said, I won't upbraid you. I won't put you down for asking. So that's the, maybe that's another little part of, on another. The pearl to ponder today through Apostle was righteousness. And I guess that little tiny pearl to ponder that God gave me is about today, about the wisdom of God. If any of us have lack wisdom, I'm giving some challenges today. There are going to be some challenges that the Lord is going to give us by the Holy, precious Holy Spirit. Go back and read the places in the Bible about the wisdom of God and how that he delights in giving us. But he said, ask in faith. Now, when you ask for that wisdom, he's got it for us. Jesus has been made wisdom. He said, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. But he that wavereth is like a ship of the sea. So God bless you. So we thank God for you all. And Apostle, we are so blessed that you have allowed for this time on the fifth Sunday of the month for us to be a part of the service. I count it as always an honor and a privilege. Any open door of utterance is an honor and a privilege by God. I give thanks to God for this time, and I thank God, and I love you, Apostle and Pastor Mom, and all of the members of East St. Louis Christian Center Church, and I'll always thank God for what he does here, there, at East St. Louis Christian Center Church. God bless you. So now we're going to get ready to go into the Word. Hallelujah. We're going to get ready to go into the Word of God today, and we're going to ask it first that joy will come with the Word that God has laid upon her heart. Amber will come, and then myself. Every Sunday, we began several years ago when we moved into the Memphis area and Memphis Christian Center Church was formed, the Lord had us to be able to establish. We were in Angeles. We were at another, we had another church there in Los Angeles. And when God relocated us here, it was such a blessing, but we didn't know the direction. Which way was God going to lead us? How he was going to guide us? And he did. He began to lead and guide us in the way that he would have us to go. And then on Sundays, the Lord would have us to do tag team preaching, and maybe about a year or so. And then God said, nope, I want you to take that tag team out, and I want you to begin for Joy and Amber to minister with you every single Sunday. And so, and they minister in the way that the Holy Spirit has them. Many times, and I found out, we talk about the pearls to ponder, God gives to Joy special devotionals that just touch your heart, and you wonder, where did she get this from? And I thank God. Sometimes she goes on her own and gives the word out. Many times it's through those wonderful devotionals that God lays up on her heart. Then God also uses Amber to minister forth the word of God so that no matter where they go, I give him glory for what he is doing. Again, there is no glory that any of us can take, not an ounce of it. We can only boast in God and in who he is doing and what he is doing in our lives and in their lives. And so I thank God for him ministering through the word, even through Amber. And I give glory in the way that he uses them. And I heard somebody say the other day that they both do it individually in the way that God gives them. And that's what I appreciate. And I'm so glad that when I look at Joy, Joy is not moved by anything that Amber does. Amber is not moved by anything that Joy does. And they still it's just a great blessing. And I'm going to get ready to turn it over to Joy in just a moment. The thing that I love about what God does through Amber, through Joy, is that Joy prayed for Amber. Joy began to give a seed. She heard a man preach, Jesse Duplantis, that, hey, that's my harvest. And many years ago, Joy began to sow a seed, and she would give a quarter, a dollar, and put it on the offering envelope for a baby sister that looks just like me. And the one thing I noticed, I said, look here, when I did get pregnant, I said, Lord, did I ask you for another baby? Well, he did tell me that Joy was my child of promise, and Amber was my reward. Because he said the fruit of the womb is his reward. And he had promised me a daughter. That's why Joy is the child, the promise. And Amber is the child, the reward that he gave. He said, but it came out of Joy sowing a seed and asking him for a baby sister that looked just like her. There are so many similarities when Amber was born to what their weight, 4 pounds and 11 ounces. The same way that, I mean, just so many, there came a time in their lives that at one intersection of time when their backs were turned, I didn't know who was who. I didn't know at one particular point in their lives. And so I praise God. So one of the dynamics that I see between Joy and Amber, and, you know, between them is that Joy is almost like a little second mama to her. She hovers, she watches over her. She's going to make sure when Amber's not feeling well, I watch, you know, and see how she tries to tend to her and see to her. But by the same token, I watch how Amber honors her. I watch when the birthdays and different things come up, how they go all out. They know each other. They know what I look at and say, I was looking when they give each other things sometimes. I say, how do they know that? How do they know that? And then I begin to watch and see that they watch each other. They in that. So there is a reason that God maybe had me to share that, because it's good to know sometimes our speaker and sometimes the dynamics that are between them. So I thank God for them today. And so, Joy, will you come in the way that the Holy Spirit will lead you? And then afterwards, immediately, Amber, you come with what God has laid upon your heart. Will you all come today?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Joy.
Okay, today's message is when the whole world thinks, when the whole world thinks. Today's Bible reading comes from Revelation 5:6-14. Revelation 5:6-14. It says, they sing a new song saying, With your blood, you purchased for God's persons from every tribe and language for a nation. That's Revelation 5:9. Now, it's a commercial. A commercial jingle in the 1970s inspired a generation, created as part of Coca-Cola's The Real Thing ad campaign. A British group called the New Seekers eventually sang it as a full-length song that climbed to the top of the music charts around the world. But many will never forget the original television version sung by young people on the hilltop outside of Rome. And I'm going to play it for you, so I hope you can hear it.
Like to buy the world a home and furnish it with love. Grow up on trees and honeybees and the white turtle dove. I like to teach the world to sing. Sing with me.
The whimsical, as whimsical as the Coca-Cola Real Thing was with the version of the honeybees and the fruit, you resonate with the songwriter's desire to teach the world to sing with a heart of harmony and love. The Apostle John described something like that, Adonai's dream, only a vaster and greater. In Revelation 6-14, and it says, Revelation 5:6-14 says, so I looked, and there surrounded my throne, animals and elders, was a lamb slaughtered, but standing tall, 7 horns he had, and 7 eyes, and 7 spirits of God sent into all the earth. He came to the one seated on the throne and took the scroll from his right hand. The moment he took the scroll, the 4 animals and 24 elders fell down and worshiped the Lamb. Each had a harp, and each had a bowl, a gold bowl filled with incense, the prayers of God's holy people. And they sang a new song, worthy, take the scroll, open its seals, slain, paying in blood, and brought man and woman, brought them back from all over the earth, brought them back for God. Then you made them kingdom, priests for our God, priests, kings to rule over the earth. I looked again. I heard a company of angels around the throne, the animals and the elders, 10,000 times, 10,000 their number, thousands after thousands, after thousands in full song. The slain lamb is worthy. Take the power, the wealth, the wisdom, the strength. Take the honor, glory, the blessing. Then I heard every creature in heaven and earth, and underworld and sea, join in all voices in all places, singing to the one on the throne, to the Lamb, the blessings, the honor, the glory, the strength, the age after age after age. The 4 animals called out, oh, yes, the elders fell to their knees and worshiped. That was Revelation 6 through 14. Now, the Apostle John, he envisioned a song sung by every creator in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and on the sea and there, and all that is in them. There's nothing whimsical about this anthem. Nothing could be more realistic than the price paid by the one whom this song is sung. Neither could there be anything more affordable than the vision of war, death, and consequences that his sacrifice of love would have to overcome. It says, what gives you the cause to sing? What happens to your heart and mind when you embrace John's vision of every created being singing in united praise of the Lamb and his love? It's a sacrificial love. This is what it took for the Lamb of God to bear our sin and defeat death, overcome our fear of death, and teach all heaven and earth to sing in perfect harmony. It says, say this prayer with me. It says, Father in heaven, please help me to sense the wonder of what you've done, to give me a song that you can be sung in joy by everyone and every living creature. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. When the whole world sings, and not just the whole world, but every creature. Thank you, Joy, so much for that word. Glory to God. Amber, will you come? Glory to God.
Yes.
Hello.
Everyone. Good afternoon. And that was a very blessed message, Joy. And I really thank God for you and everyone who's on the line tonight. Thank you so much for having us. And my message for today, the Lord has gave me, is the importance of worship. That is the importance of worship. Worshiping through song is one of the most powerful ways to connect directly to the love, compassion, and power in the grace of God. In worship, any walls that might be placed up are torn down, just as God tore the veil at the death of Christ. In worship, our hearts are softened, are aware, and open to the glorious majesties of God's nearness. In worship, God makes his nearness known to us and fills us anew with the power of his manifest presence. The song in Psalms is filled with scriptures of worship. In Psalms 95:1-3 says, oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. I really love that. We are created to worship our Creator, our Father God. When we give glory to God, we place him on the throne of our hearts and posture ourselves in the only position in which we will find peace, one of submission and humility. And in the act of worship, we lay down all our problems and worries. We cast them all over to him, and he fills us with his great peace, and we receive his peace. It says in Psalms 132:7, it says, let us go to his dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool. When we worship God, we enter into direct contact with our all-powerful Father, all-loving. He's all-loving and all-knowing. God desires for us to worship him and to draw near to him. He wants to overflow us with his love, and he wants us to spend that special time with him. And for this, my message today, I'm going to show some ways of how we can better worship God and how the importance of each worship method is to him and how it affects us in a great way. The first one is worship puts our focus in the right place. There's a song in the hymn by Helen Holworth Limmel, and it is called Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And some of the lyrics are, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. When we seek God and worship him, we seek his wonderful face, we turn our eyes to him, our hearts to him, and it's so important to do so. And in the scripture of Jeremiah 32:27, it says that I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? When we focus and worship God, we know that there's nothing too hard for him. It puts peace in our heart that we don't have to worry or stress because we know that we serve an almighty God. And also, worship satisfies our souls. Just like when our earthly bodies get hungry, we go to get food for nourishment. We go sometimes just stare in the refrigerator, not knowing what to make, not what to do or anything. But when we worship God, we know where our nourishment comes from. When we sit and we can sit and stand from the refrigerator, we can sit in His presence and listen to Him and what He has to say to us. When we release worry and stress and anxiety, we come to a complete peace in knowing that God is with us. And when we worship Him, it shows on God that we want to spend time with Him. And in the Bible, David knew this. He really knew this. And he will often go to the sanctuary to see God and just sit in His presence. And after spending time alone with the Lord, David's soul was satisfied and his mouth praised God with joyful lips. It says in Psalm 63:1-5, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power in your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be satisfied as with the riches of food. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you." That is so wonderful. Imagine you going to a steakhouse or wherever your favorite meal is, and he said, praising God, he said he's satisfied like the riches of food. That's how we are satisfied when we praise and worship our Father God. And another way that we praise God, another benefit in the importance of praising God and worshiping God is worship grows our faith. And our faith is like muscles in our bodies. In order to grow, we need to exercise them. When we worship God, it's an act of faith of thankfulness that we know it's already done, that He's already provided the way, that we can trust in Him no matter what. We're already healed. We're already blessed. And in the Bible, when David faced Goliath, he was reminded of God's strength and how God helped him before in his times of need. We need to do that same thing. We need to remind ourselves of all the great things that God has done for us. Faith is what made David run towards the giant instead of away from him, because he knew that what God has done had done for him. And we too can do the same thing. And it's important to constantly speak out all the great things that God has done for us and keep it in our hearing. It says in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing and hearing God's word. We must constantly be hearing God's word to strengthen and remind ourselves that what all God has done and all that He will do. And worship also is really important because it brings us closer to God. When we really love someone in our family or in your relationships, you want to be close to them. And that's what worship does with our Heavenly Father. We draw closer to Him more than anyone else. As in the Bible, as Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, He poured His heart out to God, who was listening. We don't have to wonder if God's listening. He hears us. We can see Him and hear Him with our, and we can see Him with our spiritual eyes, and we can love Him because He loves us. And even though times we might be stressed sometimes and things might rise up, we can always go to God and worship Him no matter what. It says in 1 Peter 1:8, it says, "Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy." So even when we go to God's presence and worship Him, we love Him, even though we might not see Him. We know we feel His presence. We see Him through our spiritual eyes, and we are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. And I really, really love that. And we, as we worship God, it's so important that when times come up and things are stressful, I often just get still. One of my favorite worship songs is C.C. Wines, Alone in His Presence. And that just blocks out any other thing that's going on in the world, and it's just me and Jesus. And I know each and every one of you have those same types of songs that, and we can just sit and be thankful to God and worship Him. And that, and speaking of thankful, worship makes us thankful. And it's so important that we remain thankful no matter what things may be going on in the world. We see so much stuff going on. We must remain thankful for God for keeping us. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us and protecting us and for everything that he's done for us. And we must always be thankful to Him, and because gratitude is a choice. It's us saying, yes, Lord, I trust you no matter what things look like. I won't be overwhelmed. I trust you. And it's trusting God no matter what. And since God is our trusting and loving God, it means that he doesn't change no matter what. He's always loving. He's always good. And we must always know that he will always help us. And he will never leave us nor forsake us. It says in Hebrews 13:5. Sorry, I had to picture up there. In Hebrews 13:5, it says, "And be content with what you have, because God said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." God is always with us. He wants us to worship Him and seek Him. He's always there for us, leading us and guiding us on what to do and what not to do. He's there to strengthen us no matter what. And being thankful to Him just brings our blessings down more. It helps us to receive our healing even more. When we're thankful to God, all trials and tribulations seem really, really small. And the glorification of God and glorifying His name and worshiping His name gets magnified. And when we trust God and trust Him, He sees that. And we can praise Him so that others can also praise Him as well and know and be thankful as well. Because it's always important that when we're going through, one of my favorite movies is that this lady was going through something, and her friends was kind of silent to see how she was going to react. But instead, she remained cool and calm so that they would be cool and calm. So when we're going through things and we worship God and we turn our focus on God and we're thankful to Him, others will see it so that when they go through something, that they will be thankful as well and not be worried and live stressed. And finally, worship, as I said, worship can lead God to others. When our hearts are turned to God and we worship Him, even through seasons that we don't understand, others will notice that something is different about us. They wonder, how can we praise God like that as well, like I said. And it's important to always worship God when we choose to worship, so that they can know where our hope lies. Our hope is in Jesus. We worship in God because He is always with us. And so many times, things might try to rise up, but we can always trust in our Father God. That is why worship is so important. So I pray that today that you all just realize how important praising our Father God is, because He is always worthy of the worship. God is always worthy of the worship. When our prayers, when we pray to God, He hears us. When we worship Him, He hears us. God is always worthy of the praise. And it's a mature faith that will worship in the midst of any type of trial. Worship is not dependent on answers. Worship is powerful simply because God is worthy of our worship and because He is so good. And lastly, in the Bible, when Paul sang in prison, and Paul firmly knew that the one he sang to was worthy of praise. Even in his darkest hour, Jesus prayed in the garden. And while he did not want the cup to be passed, he still submitted to his Father. God is always worthy of worship. It has nothing to do with what's going on around us, but God is our sufficiency. He is everything we need. And there's some lyrics by Ann Peterson, and it's called Everything I Need. It says, God, you are all-knowing. You always have a plan. There's nothing that surprises you. You always understand. Please help me to remember and teach me to embrace. You are everything I need, no matter what I face. So we can worship God today, and I pray that, I pray this prayer for each and every one of us. Father, I want to praise you for who you are. You are Almighty God. There is nothing too difficult for you. Lord, help us to worship you be confident that you are always with us and you never will forsake us. Thank you, Lord God, for your presence. And we thank you for blessing us no matter what in our lives. And we trust you. We praise you, Lord, for who you are. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all.
Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amber, I thank God for that word, glory to God, on worshiping the Lord. Hallelujah. On worshiping the Lord. I give glory to God, the importance of worship. And I thank God. I thank God that you said we are created to worship God. Hallelujah. I just thank God for the whole word that the Lord gave through you about worshiping him. What a wonderful, wonderful word. I thank God for the word through both of you all about that when the world sings, hallelujah, and then the importance of worship. Glory to God. Lord, we just worship you today. We thank you, even as Amber said, for who you are, Lord God. Hallelujah. And we thank you for all of your manifold blessings. We worship you, Lord God. And we thank you. Thank you, Joy and Amber. Thank God for that word, those words that God shared through both of y'all. And it seems like we're kind of all of us in kind of one accord on certain things in the way that God is having us to move. Even with a Joy reading from Revelation 5, 6 through 14, a part of that, Revelation 5, is in part of the message that God has even given for me today. So we give glory to God. And I want to come this day with the word that the Lord has come. It's not given unto my heart. Preferably, it will not be so long, so it will not tire you out. I'm asking God to let me be expeditious by his spirit, but to give what's on his mind. I'm going to tell you from the very beginning how this is leading to what he's going to. He was saying to me that it's a time for decreeing. All the time has been a time for declarations and decreeing. We're in a stepped up time now for the declarations and decreeing to take place in our lives. And what we're going to be able to receive from God is going to be by the declarations and the decreeing that are made, that we make, that God, that we make in line with God's word and how he has put that in our heart to what he needs for us to do to decree and declare. I want to begin, first of all, with that on our services that we've been having on our date nights with Jesus. We have been focusing on a part of our identity in spiritual warfare. We've been focusing on our identity that once we're saved and born again, that we're enlisted as soldiers in God's army. Our key verse for that time has been 2 Timothy 2, verse 3 and 4. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. The moment we receive Jesus Christ, one of the parts of our identity, that's not the only part, but one of the parts of our identity is that God has chosen us to be a soldier, whether it be in the good times, in the bad times, in the in-between times. It's important that we know a part of our identity is to be a soldier. And one of the reasons is because he instructs us, he wants us to be a good soldier to endure hardness, the temptations and trials that will come our way. We know that the scripture says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers us out of them all. So we have been studying about the fact that we are soldiers in God's army. And then as soldiers, we learn in Revelation 5, verse 10, it says that we've been called to rule and to reign. And that's where that decreeing and declaring is going to come into being, because God spoke the word into being. The word of God says that there was absolutely nothing created that was not made by Jesus through him speaking forth the word of God. And so he's called us to rule and to reign. He's called us to be victorious as soldiers in his army. He's called us to be victorious in Christ Jesus in the situations and circumstances of this life. Again, remember, there are many things that will come our way. It doesn't say if you go through the water, if you go. It said, but when you do. That's when Apostle was faced with a when moment, that when you go through the fire and through the flood, he said he would be with us. Glory to God. So we learned that
in Revelation 5:10, it says that we have been made kings and priests under our God. So we are not only regular soldiers, but we're part of God's royal family, because Jesus himself, the word of God calls him in Revelation 19, the king of every king and the Lord of every Lord. And distinctively, it says he has a sharp two-edged sword coming out of his mouth in order to rule the nations. He's going to rule them with a sharp two-edged sword, Revelation 19, that comes out of his mouth. And so we're part of the royal, as the soldiers, and we are, just as I said before, the Queen Elizabeth, her soldiers are called the Royal Navy and the Royal Air Force. They're called, the army, though, is called the Majestic Army. Glory to God. And our walk with God and our soldierhood is likened unto being a part of God's royal army, because God himself, Jesus himself, is King of kings and Lord of lords. Glory to God. And so then the word of God says, not only are we a part of God's we are not only royal soldiers, and that's why I'm getting to the decree, because this will be very important for us to have this in our spirit, that not only are we soldiers, but we're also a part of the family of God. John 1 and verse 12 says, but as many as have received him, that is Jesus Christ, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. So when we have believed on Jesus and received him, we become children of God. And when, hallelujah. And then this means now as a child of God, that we also are now part of God's royal family. Just put it in your spirit for a little while, because this is so important. It's important in our identity in God. It's important that we understand and that we know that we are a part of God's royal family. We're not just regular soldiers, but we're royal soldiers to the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We're part of his royal army, the royal army of God. And then we're not only that, but our soldierhood involves us being a part of the royal family. And that happens because Queen Elizabeth, first, before she became a queen, she was involved in the royal services. She joined the army. And many of them, all of the princes, they go through the military first. Even though they're royal, part of the royal family, they go through and join the royal army or the royal navy or the royal air force. They join that. Go back and do some research on that. So we are a part of God's royal army. We are a part of God's royal family. Romans 8 and verse 17 says, and if children, then heirs. See, we established in John 1:12 that when we receive Jesus Christ, when we believe on him, when we receive that gift that God has given us, Jesus Christ, that we are part of children of God. So we're his children. Romans 8:17 makes it a little clearer. Romans 8:17 says, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So God brings it down a little further. He said, not only are you my royal soldiers and a part of my royal family, but you are also heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Then Proverbs 8 verse 15 says, the word of God says, by me kings reign, and rulers decree, we're coming around to this decree justice. As royal soldiers and a part of God's royal family and his army, we've got to understand that our identity in Christ Jesus is so very important. So what does that matter that I'm a part of God? I'm a royal soldier. What does that matter that I'm a part of God's royal family? Bring that down. How does that matter on my everyday life, the everyday situation? How is that going to help me to endure when hardships come? And we must know that how we see ourselves. First, he said, I got to let you see who you are in me. Because remember, there was a time when we as black people were in slavery, and some still had slave mentality, and they had to be read. Now, some were enslaved, but they were standing up on the inside. You know, there were ones that knew, I'm a human. I'm a real human being. But we've got to know, who are we really?
That's why Colin Cullen wrote the song, Black Child, do you know who you are? And we have to know as Christians who we really are. And being a part of this royal family, being a part of this royal army, we got to know, what do royal soldiers do? What do they do? What are they called to do? Because this will, how we see ourselves will determine the direction for our lives. It will determine what direction we go in. And we must know the importance that what a king and queen does is they decree a thing. My sister Apostle Kizzy said that when they went through the COVID, that about now almost three weeks ago, and they went through it, that the decrees that they had been making, that no virus or anything would be able to attack onto them, they had been, it came, he said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. He didn't say the weapon would be formed, but God would be with them. And that decree, she said, that decree was waiting on them. The decrees that we make out of our mouth will wait on us. And that's what a king does. That's why the importance of knowing that you're a king and that you are a king and priest unto God is that our decrees are very important. You'll remember that Job 22 and verse 28 says, decree a thing. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. That decreeing means that when we decide on a matter, in other words, it's to decide on a matter, and it will be established for you, and light will shine on your ways. The Berean Bible says your decisions will be carried out. God wants us to begin to put that word in our mouth. I decree, I declare in Jesus' name that my decisions will be carried out and light will shine on my path, on our pathways. One of the things that the Lord, and I've heard this before, and it would convict me, and it said, what do you have? Look around you. See what's going on in your life. See what, and what you're seeing is what your mouth has decreed and declared. He said, you've got to begin to decree something. And let me tell you, saints of God, I would begin to decree and then I'd stop. God's been working with me for over 40-some years. And I would begin to decree a thing and declare a thing, and then I would stop. And sometimes with my own mouth, I would dig up things. That's why we have to ask God, set a watch before my mouth. Keep the doors of my lips. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of my mouth, but only that which is good to the use of edifying. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Because when we began to speak forth as kings, as a royal king, the kings decree a thing. And I give you a challenge. I told you there are going to be challenges. I want you to go back, and I challenge you to look at there are all throughout the Bible, especially when it came about a king, kings will decree a thing. I want to give you a quick example of how one instance, I'm going to go over that very quickly, about one instance of where a king decreed, but there are so many. Oh, my goodness. There are so many where they decree a thing and it comes to pass. And remember that when we're talking about decreeing and declaring, it's going to set a direction for our lives. And Daniel, the second chapter, when you get a chance, go back and read it, or even get the audio Bible and listen to it. The king had a dream, and you know that in Daniel 2, when the king, Nebuchadnezzar, he had a dream. And his spirit was troubled, and his sleep left from him. And the dream left from him. He couldn't even remember the dream. Have you ever had a dream that you knew something troubled you in the dream, but you couldn't? You might try to tell the dream, but you couldn't remember the dream all the way, but you knew somehow it troubled you. Well, that's what happened with Nebuchadnezzar. He had a dream, but the dream left him. So he called for all of his magicians and astrologers and all of those people to come and tell him what the dream meant. And they were... They said, well, tell us the dream, and we'll tell you the interpretation. They couldn't. The king answered and said, I know of a certainty that he had told them. He said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it.
in verse 7 of Daniel 2. And then in verse 8 says, the king answered and said, I know of a certainty that you would gain the time because you see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not, look what he said, this is where he's getting ready to decree something. The king says, but if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for you have prepared lying and corrupt words, time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation thereof. And so they couldn't tell it. They couldn't do it. And so the king was furious. The word of God says in verse 12, it says the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And verse 13 says, and the decree, kings decree a thing. They make an order, a command. They begin to decide what they want, and then they decree it. I just want you to give a, now this is other decrees throughout the Bible that you can go through, but I challenge you, go through the Bible and look where it came, because you got to, as soldiers and a part of God's family, and we're part of his royal family, and we're royal soldiers, we are also to decree and declare a thing, and it will come to pass. That decree and declare will actually wait on us. Glory to God, will actually wait on us. I firmly believe that those are ones who've been decreeing and declaring healing, health, and wholeness. That decree is waiting. Prosperity, plenty, more than enough, and blessed to be a blessing. That decree is waiting. And so in verse 13, it says, and the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And Daniel was a part of that the wise men. And they saw Daniel and his fellows to be slain. But they came and told Daniel about what was going on. And verse 14 says, then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the king of the king's guard, which had gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so, one translation says, why is the decree so harsh from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. And then Daniel went to go and to be able to tell the king, and God, he let him know God is the one that will tell dreams. And God revealed it to Daniel in the night of vision. And then Daniel blessed the God of heaven and went back to go tell the king what went on. And as a result of that, then, and Daniel told him what the dream meant. As a result of that, now he told him the dream, and then what the dream meant, as a result of that, the decree had to be nullified because Daniel finally gave the dream. Glory to God. That little part in Daniel 2 is important just to know that when we decree a thing, when we're like kings, and the word of God says, remember, Joy read in Revelation 5, and she read down from 6 to 14. We need to star in our Bibles, Revelation 5 and verse 10, or keep it before our minds, that we have been made, God said, we're made kings and priests under our God. We've been made kings and priests under our God, and then we will rule and reign. How are we going to rule and reign? We're going to begin to decree things and stand to it. Stick to it. Don't dig it up. I know in James, the third chapter, got one more little way, and then we'll be closing. In James, the third chapter, it begins to talk about what our tongue is like and why it is so important that we speak the words in line with God's word. Because it says, it talks about, take ships for an example. It says in James 3 and verse 4, it says, and I'm going to read out of one translation, says, and a tiny rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot wants it to go, even though the winds are strong. It said, so also the tongue is a small thing, but what enormous damage it can do. And one of the things is that the tongue is like a rudder on a ship. That little thing right there, that wheel, and it's so amazing to see. Sometimes you see ships with huge, big wheels. Some of them only have little bitty wheels where they're directing that huge ship. I can remember in the St. Louis area, I was raised up in the St. Louis area, And when oh, Lord, don't let it leave from me. Don't let it leave from me. We used to go down. There was a ship, a boat that we used to go to and get on. It was in my mind just now, so devil, take your hands off. And, Lord, I decree and ask that you would let it come back to mind. And we would go down
the
on
Admiral?
That ship on that boat.
Was it the Admiral? Was it the Admiral?
Thank you so much, Apostle. Thank you, Apostle. Thank you so much. And I would love to go down on the Admiral. I just loved going on that Admiral. And many times when you were on that Admiral, and this is something very important for us to remember, we're talking about that our tongue is like a rudder that directs a huge, huge ship. Our lives are huge ships. Our lives, our everyday life is a huge ship. When we would get on that Admiral, you couldn't even tell you were really, really moving. You just couldn't really tell till you looked out to see that ship was moving. And I believe that there was one time, because I was so astonished, that I got a chance to see up. I think they, after a while, when they had stopped and decommissioned it, they would let people go on tours of it, that in the captain's part was this little bitty, the little thing that you turn it with, the little wheel. But also, underneath there is just a little rudder. And that's what happens in our lives. When we began as kings and priests under God, we're in his royal family, God spoke the world into being. Even when one of the last pictures we said, when you see in Revelations 19, he said he's going to rule the nations with the sword of his mouth. And the word of God tells us that the word of God is the sword. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God in Ephesians. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. So what begins to happen is that as we begin to speak, it's going to direct the ship of our lives. It's going to direct us as we decree and as we declare in line with God's word, it's going to direct our lives. I had spoken with my sister, and I was telling her what the Lord was showing me about that our life is like a great big orchestra with Jesus as the orchestra leader. There are different parts, and I remember that even as a in the choir, when I was in the choir at Lincoln High School, and I graduated from Lincoln High School, but I was a part of the choir, and Mr. Brown was our choir leader. And in that choir, you had altos, you had sopranos, you had tenors, you had bass, and others, and each one of us had a section, and our eyes were focused. I learned, and the main thing he told us, keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on me. We're not looking at what somebody's doing to our left. We're not looking to somebody that's at the right, because he's the one, when he lifts up that hand and his palms go up and he's saying, okay, come on up, up. And he don't say a word, but he's just lifting us. When he wanted us to be able to do other things, he might broaden so that we would be able to, and we would watch and look at him, and he would direct us what to do, how to do, and when to do it. There are many things in our walk in the Lord. We're not just saying that the only thing is to decree and declare in that ship. No, we're not saying that. We're saying that by the Spirit of God, he wants us to know there are many things. First, we've got to stay focused on him and the choir. We've got to be in that, whether it be the orchestra, the part like on to the left. We've got that part where we're focusing on God in the middle. It might say use the weapons of your warfare and the fruit of the Spirit and other things. And then on the other part, the far right in that orchestra, it says decree and declare a thing. There are things that come when I sit up and I'll get up and maybe my leg or my hip, somebody was going through in their hip. And so when I got up and I began to speak, sometimes the Lord will give me a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom of somebody hurting. And so I began to speak to that pain on the, and then even right now, as soon as I said that, I felt somebody's knee, a knee going, and then on the hip, I would feel the hip. I can remember my brother, Pastor Mark, when I came down to his house there in Huntsville, Alabama, and all he said was, Helen, just sit by me for a minute, and then tell me what's going on, if you feel, and what's going on. And God began to give me a word of knowledge, and began to show me what was going on in my brother's body. And he ended up, I think a little bit later on that day, he went to the hospital to go and check out himself. There are things that God will give you a word. He'll give you a word of knowledge. And I will begin to, we begin to take authority over those things, because we've been given delegated authority to use the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the word of God. And we rebuke, Jesus would rebuke a thing, then he would give it a charge, a command, or an order. He rebuked the winds and the waves, and then he charged them to be still. He rebuked the winds and the waves in Mark 4, and then he charged them to be still. To be still, I pray it's Mark 4. But he rebuked the thing. Go back and look that up right now. Well, and after I've rebuked the thing, and I've given it a charge and an order to lead me and them, because what God reveals, he heals. Then after I've done that, then the Lord said, now decree and declare. He said, decree and declare, even now, that by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. And whoever this stands for, they are healed. And so God wants us to begin to decree and declare. Then I'm prosperous and I'm in health, even as my soul prospers. And then as I was listening to Apostle, the things don't, we're not telling you it's popcorn. We're not going to tell you the things, because even when you're on that admiral, or you're on a ship and you're on a boat, have you ever noticed that it seems like it's going slow, but it eventually gets there? It seems like it's slow, but it gets there. Well, in the ship of our life, if we keep that rudder, because remember again, if we can know who we are and we can understand what God has called us to do, it's going to set the direction for our lives. That we're to be able to walk by faith and not by sight, to focus on the fact that God has already provided everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness through his precious darling son, Jesus Christ. So God says, don't jump ship. Don't stop decreeing and declaring. Don't stop speaking in line with my word, but decree a thing. And God said it will be established unto you. He said, you decide, you decree, you declare. And it doesn't matter how many people might say, well, when your ship don't reach its haven, it will. It is. It is. Sometimes God may have to tell us to do other things. And he began to have me to decree and declare no more hindrances to his blessings in my life. I can remember for the whole month of June, I was attacked in my body and was taking authority over what was going on. I was wheezing so bad and having reactions to so many things. Lord, have mercy. If I ate popcorn, I started wheezing. I rebuked that in Jesus' name. If I would eat corn, I rebuked that. I would rebuke it in Jesus' name. And then the Lord began to tell me, you need to decree some things. You need to decree and declare. You rebuked it now. Now you need to decree and declare that by my stripes, you are healed. I begin to say, I decree and declare, by the stripes of Jesus, I am and we're healed. But by the time that Mom and Apostle and Pastor Catherine were diagnosed with COVID, I began to, after he had taught me what to do, then I began to rebuke every weakness, sickness, disease, infirmity, pain from off of them. And then I begin to decree and declare that by the stripes of Jesus, Pastor Mom, Apostle, Pastor Catherine, and all the family that was affected and all of those ones who were affected, that by the stripes of Jesus, they are and were healed. I begin to decree by the Lord and by his orchestration to decree and declare moment by moment miracles. Moment by moment, miracles in their bodies. Every moment, every second, every hour of every day, Lord God. I decree and declare over my mom, over the apostle, over Pastor Catherine, and all the family in Jesus' name. And I believe that as that word, the word of God says in Psalm 147 and verse 15, that when the word of God goes forth, it runs swiftly. When his commands go forth, it will run swiftly. When we decide a thing and begin to give it a charge and command and decree it and declare it, it will begin to run swiftly. It may seem like it's getting there slow, even an airplane when it's flying. One translation says about Psalms 147 and verse 15, that when the word goes forth, it actually flies. It says flies. It will fly. But even think about it. When you get in an airplane, it's not an instantaneous thing, unless you're just going to go up and come right back down. But when you're coming from one part of the country to another, it may take 3 hours. And across the United States, mostly on a flight, it will take 5 hours from the New York area to the Los Angeles area. It's not instantaneous. So when we begin to decree and declare a thing, we're putting pressure on that thing. And as Apostle said, which she said again, because God has brought that so much to my mind and to my memory, that when we begin to declare a thing, that declaration will wait on us. If we don't change it, that declaration is with us. It will go before us. will be with us and our ship, because when we declare this thing with our tongue, that it's like a rudder. It's going to point the direction for our lives. So remember, as we close now, it says, as raw soldiers in the army of the Lord, and as a part of his raw family, how we see ourselves will determine the direction for our lives. And we must know the importance of decreeing and declaring a thing. Now, as we close, we're just going to make a short declaration. And you are, the Lord said, we're soldier kings. We're actually soldier kings. That's important for us to know that identity. So that when, just like those kings in the Bible, would decree a thing, we must also decree and declare a thing. So would you please say with me, I want you to repeat with me this. If you've been laying, sleeping, or you might be doing something, take a few moments. Just take a few moments. If you're looking at TV right now or you're doing something else, stop for just a minute so a course can be set in our lives. Glory to God. There's somebody who's been going through behind their eyes. We want to take authority over that. That person that's been going through on their knee, that person is in the lower back around the kidney area. We want to just pray for you, and we want you to pray with us. So I want you to repeat with me, please. I decree and declare. That's right. Say, I decree and declare that I am healed. I am whole. I am well. And I am sound. I am free from every bondage. I am free from every habit. I am free from poverty, lack, and want. Come in and go out. I have the mind of Christ. I decree and declare that God's wisdom is operating greatly in my life. And lastly, I am blessed with faithful Abraham. We thank God for each one of you today. We thank God for that word that God has given us, that it's decreeing time. It's declaring time. It's time for us to begin to set the course for our lives. And that person that's been right in the, I'm feeling it right just then, on the left side, down at the bottom of the stomach, I rebuke all weakness, sickness, disease, all pain, all cramping from off of you. I rebuke it at the roots in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Charge and command it to leave you and not return. And I decree and declare over you this day that you're healed, whole, well, and sound. For that person that's been dealing with a foul, unclean spirit upon your body and has tried to linger on you, I rebuke that foul, unclean spirit from off of you in Jesus' name. And all legions and groups of foul, unclean spirits, I rebuke it from off of you and your household and your generation in the name of Jesus. Charge and command it to leave you now and not return. And I decree and declare that you're free from every bondage, every habit in the name of Jesus Christ. For that person that's been going through on their stomach, even now, lay your hands on your stomach in Jesus' name. I rebuke the spirit even now of any disturbance to your digestive system. And I call forth in Jesus' name healing, health. I decree and declare healing, health, wholeness to your digestive system, to that person that's been going through in their chest. I rebuke all pain and discomfort of any kind to your chest. I charge and command it to leave you now and not return. That person that's, and I decree and declare your healing, health, and wholeness. To that person that's been going through in their nasal passages and behind the eyes, I rebuke that spirit of infirmity from off of your nasal passages and off your eyes and from off your back, whoever's back, like a stabbing pain in the back. I rebuke that in Jesus' name and charge and command it to leave you and not return. And I call forth and say, let there be, and decree and declare, let there be healing, let there be wholeness, let there be wellness, let there be soundness, even in your kidneys, let there be healing in the kidneys, let there be healing, wholeness, wellness, soundness, in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for even now allowing us to move that ship, the ship of healing forth in our life, to move that ship by your spirit as we decree and declare. Now, if you're listening today, and it may be, as Apostle, my sister Apostle Kizzy says, it might be in the year 3000 if Jesus tarries to come. It might be in the year 4000 if Jesus tarries to come. There are things that we're listening, I'm listening to now, that were back in the 16th century.
and they're just so relevant to what is going on now in the 21st century. Glory to God. And looking at different things, and you might be listening to this message today and said, oh, wow, I haven't heard this kind of thing before. Yes, it might be so, but it's the word of God. Hallelujah. And so you might be listening now, and you might, want to be able to know what is this all about? Well, the word of God talks about that we need to be saved. And Jesus Christ, our Savior, Lord, and God, he's called the way, the truth, and the life, the only way. Many people say there are many ways, but there's only one way, and Jesus is the way, because Jesus paid it all. There was blood that was needed in Leviticus 17:11 says that all life is in the blood, and atonement for sin would be made through blood. But then they would have to do the atonement over and over and over again. You may be listening to this in the year 4000, and you're trying to win your way to eternal life or salvation. Jesus was the one. We needed a spotless Lamb of God to come and take away the sin of the world. That's why Jesus is the way, because he had to be born of a virgin Mary, of a virgin. The virgin whose blood was not, he was born of the virgin, and she was not tainted with the blood of a man. His blood was not. So Jesus paid it all. And Romans 10:9-10 says this is the way. It's a simple way. Romans 10:9-10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, that you would be saved. There's another thing, is that Jesus is called the gift of God. The gift of God. John 1:12 says, as many as have received him, to them has he given the right to become children of God, to as many as have believed on his name. When we believe on Jesus Christ and we receive him, we become a child of God. And we become saved from and we can have then eternal life and life more abundantly. So I ask this day, if you would pray this prayer with me. I went kind of a little different direction in doing that today. But if you would, pray with me, please. Because, again, we've been decreeing and declaring. And that was so important that God would use the declaration, the confession, because Christianity has been called the great confession. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father which is in heaven. He said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before the angels of God. So when we make that confession, it's very important. So would you pray this prayer with me, please? Dear Lord Jesus, this day I ask you to come into my heart, to come into my life. I do believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I do believe that God raised you from the dead. This day, I receive you as my Lord and as my Savior. I repent of all my sins. I no longer want to go my own way, the world's way, or the devil's way. I want to go your way, Lord God. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me, according to Acts 20:32, I commit and commend you to God and to the word. I commit and commend you to God and the word of his grace that is able to keep, guard, defend, and preserve and protect you and to give you that inheritance, because remember now that we're part of God's royal family, to give you that inheritance among all them that are set apart in Jesus Christ. I want to welcome you today to the family of God in Jesus' name. And I give glory and honor to God. Apostle, I turn it back over to you. God bless you today.
Praise God. Thank you. Thank you so much, Pastor Price and Covenant Faith Church. Hallelujah. All of the good words that came forth today. And as I was just sitting here right now, I was looking for a translation of John 10:9-10 that had the word declare in it. And it says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Amen. So John 3:16, hallelujah. Romans 10:9, hallelujah is a declaration. We're declaring and we're decreeing. So thank you. Thank you. Everything just came together today. Hallelujah. And so I just want to go back and go over some things. God has just laid so much on my heart as I heard all of the word of God being preached today. It's just been a blessing to me. I'm going to kind of keep it short. I know we're past 1 o'clock, but it's just so good, y'all. Amen. When Minister Joy was speaking, oh, and if anyone wants to make any comments, press your number one key quickly, and we will open up the line, and, you know, and you can encourage the women of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. What I was, Minister Joy, the word was through her was when the world sings, glory to God. And what I thought about with that was the first time that I heard people singing in tongues together. Oh, what a wonderful thing. I mean, wonderful, wonderful. As far as I can remember, there was no music playing, and it was here in St. Louis. I didn't live in St. Louis at the time. But I went to a church, and it was a fairly large church, and everybody was singing in tongues at the same time. I thought I was going to take off and fly. And, I mean, it was a new song. It was a beautiful song. Nobody was in disharmony. Everything was just together. So beautiful. And this, it's been very rare, even over these 30 years or so, that I've heard so many people come together and sing in tongues together in the spirit. What a beautiful thing. So that's what I thought about with you, Minister Joy. With Minister Amber, oh, I have so many thoughts, but I'm going to condense it to hallelujah. I thought about the tabernacle, and I've done studies on the tabernacle. It's just been such a blessing to me. And that was part of Psalm 100 that we prayed today. Well, enter into his gate with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. And then if you know how the tabernacle is made, and I won't go through all of that, after you enter into his courts, after the courts comes the Holy of Holies. And that's the place of worship. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Love when Minister Amber said that worship makes us thankful. And so at this point, a person would be in worship in the Holy of Holies, and it makes us thankful, which takes us back out to the gate. Hallelujah. And that's where the thanksgiving happens. Back at the gate, then we get to go to the courts again, and then we get to go and worship again. And so we got this cycle going on where we're thanking God, we're praising God, we're worshiping God, and it goes over and over again. That's what came to my mind. It just blessed me to think about that. And then when she said near the end, worship helps to lead people to God or God to others. I was in a computer class where I was learning to be a computer programmer. And at the end of the class, it was, I'm trying to think how many weeks, like 10 or 11 weeks. And at the end of the class that I had such a hard time with, I had to pray, and I wasn't the barbecue I am today. I wasn't the praying barbecue I am today. But back then, I had to pray through that whole class. When you get to the end, when a person got to the end of the class, something came on the screen, a picture came on the screen with a big smile face that says, you have completed this test. The test took a week to do. And at the end of the test, and people were struggling, people were halfway crying through that test. And I was one of the first people to finish it, and I was one of the oldest people in the class. Long story. But anyway, when I got to the end of that, I just said, thank you, Jesus. It just, I didn't do this a long time ago like I do it now. But I was like, thank you, Jesus. I went into a praise, you know, right there in the classroom with all of the people sitting at their computers and stuff. Many years later, I found out that there was an Asian woman in the class. And I talked to her many years later, and she said when she heard me praising, worshiping Jesus for passing a test, she wanted to find out who that was. And she got saved. She got wonderfully saved. Amen. Amen. So I thought about that. And then Pastor Price with the declarations and talking about the rudder of the ship. I thought about the time, I think I might have been in New Orleans, because you can sit there and watch the cruise ships go out and come in. And I recall looking at the cruise ship, and I looked at it for a long time, just staring at it, and it didn't go in. It looked like it wasn't going anywhere. You know, it looked like it was just moving so slow. And then turned in a conversation and whatever, and there the cruise ship was almost docking by where we were. But it looked like it was going so slow. But the rudder was leading that cruise ship, and that cruise ship had purpose. It didn't look like it was moving. It didn't look like it was going anywhere, but it was going, and it was moving. And sometimes with our declarations, it may not look like it's going anywhere. It may not look like it's doing anything. But hallelujah, the rudder, the word of God, hallelujah, hallelujah, is moving. And as it was said, as the word that the Lord had given to me about that declaration is waiting for you. Hallelujah. The rudder of the ship is going in the direction that God wants it to go in. And when you need it, it will be there. The word of God will be there. And hallelujah. And will be performed, because the word of God will happen. Amen. Amen. So I just, I hope you all had as good a time as I did today. Glory to God. I see, two people with their number one key press. It looks like Minister Joy, your line is open. Minister Joy, did you want to say something?
No.
Okay. Thank you. And you know what? I was so surprised that the song that you played came out so well. We'll have to talk about that later. That song was very clear, and I do remember it. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm going to open a line for Minister Amber. I see. No. That's. I don't know why I say Minister Amber. Minister Rachel and family, welcome.
Because I got a daughter named Amber as well. So I love y'all.
Amen. Love you too.
Yeah, I'm so encouraged. I cried. I declare along with all today. God has blessed me. I'm all through the room. I'm just, and even heard Gabriel in my daughter's room. So he was just, it was like he was saying something really sweet. I just heard him as I was just declaring. I mean, it was such a blessed service. God bless everybody. God in the midst ministries, Memphis coming in faith. Oh, glory to God for all of you. I'm so blessed and encouraged. And I know people probably heard around in my neighborhood because my window opened the loudest. God be having my voice. Hallelujah. I pray that there's people who is encouraged in the name of Jesus. But I'm telling you, I'm so blessed right now. I feel so good. I was so discouraged and distraught. God now he just put a cloak of encouragement. I mean, I feel good.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord God Almighty reigns. It's like soul singing in my soul right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
We praise God for that. And, you know, and the word of God says, you know, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And, you know, and that's Jesus, because we need to be together. We're not in the same room right now, but we are together. Amen.
Amen. In his name, in the whole room, in the spirit.
Amen.
By his spirit, his Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. God bless all of you, and I love all of them. Pastor Price, Joy, Minister Joy, Minister Amber, and you, Apostle Kizzy, and Pastor. I love hearing all of y'all. It's such an encouragement to me, keeping me standing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. You know we love you. A blessed day you all. Amen. All right. I don't think I see anyone else with their number one key press. Hallelujah. We're going to go ahead and get ready to close. I just want to make some announcements of what's going on our Get 'Em Radio family broadcast. You know, we meet every Sunday here, 11 a.m. Central, 12 noon Eastern. Next Sunday is the first Sunday of the month. Glory to God. So the first Sunday of the month is tag team preaching. Glory to God. So bring your scripture, bring your topic, and, you know, you can minister for 5 minutes. You can read from your devotional. You can sing by the Spirit of the Lord. If you want a song played, please let me know and send me that song by about Friday. From YouTube, and we'll have it all queued up for Sunday. So next Sunday, the first Sunday, and also, of course, we're having communion. So bring your communion elements with you. Praise God. On Monday, tomorrow's the 1st of August, and you know, every Monday we have Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern, our Bible teaching series, praise God. And she's going into a series about the whales. It's called Old Well for the month of August. Talk about the wells that were dug through the generations. Amen. On Tuesday, we'll have a Praying in Tongues Tuesday, 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern, looking for volunteers, ones who want to serve God, praying in tongues, singing in tongues. Amen. So we'll look for you on this Tuesday, 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern. The second Wednesday of the month will be August the 10th. Before we know it, it'll be here. Amen. That's our healing service, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern, with our co-host, Elder Philip Hawkey, and his wife, Minister Linda Hawkey. Now, listen very carefully, and because we're going to do something different on this Thursday. On this Thursday is August the 4th. Pastor Mom is turning 90. Praise God. And we're going to be celebrating Pastor Mom all day on Thursday, the 4th of August. So we will not have our Thursday edition of Get 'Em Radio on this Thursday, August the 4th. Amen. So please celebrate with us wherever you are. And also, this month of August, our plan on Thursday is to have a Christian mechanic to come and talk to us about our cars. Glory to God. So, and that's going to be 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern, and that's going to be starting on the 11th of August. Praise God. Praise God. So we thank the Lord for each and every one of you. Such a wonderful word today that we got from the Memphis Covenant Faith Church. We give glory to God for that. And I don't see anyone else with their number one key pressed. So we're going to go ahead and have Pastor Mom to give us any remarks and close us out in prayer. Do you have any remarks, Pastor Mom?
I think it was a very good
today. I enjoyed it too, Pastor Mom.
Yes.
Amen. May the Lord watch
between me and thee, for we are absent one by one.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you all. Have a blessed rest of the day. And remember, I am the church. You are the church.